Welcome to another edition of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, I am privileged to have a very, very accomplished entrepreneur with me, Sakshi Vij. Welcome to the show.
Sakshi, thank you for having me.
Thank you. Sakshi is from the Harvard Business School. She is, in her own words, responsible for shaping the personal mobility space in India. She was responsible for building cars on rent, and now she's the founder of Miles Cars. Sakshi, tell me a little bit about what you think are the three key milestones in your career or life.
Wow, I think I'm still getting to the right things to call milestones. It's still early days for me.
Sure.
But I'd say till now, probably the three things that have shaped the way I think and the way I think about my career and the Indian market is very early in my career when I started out, I joined Cars on Rent. At that point of time, we used to represent Hertz in India.
Yeah.
And everyone really knew Cars on Rent as Hertz India. We then went through an exercise of moving out of the master licensee of Hertz and establishing Cars on Rent as the Indian car rental brand. That, I think, was an important step for me to understand what setting up a global practice for India looks like.
Correct.
And I think that was an important learning. The second, of course, was when I launched Miles, which was back in 2014. This was a time when everyone was talking about the Ubers and Olas and radio taxis and aggregation on ride sharing. And we were coming in with a car sharing brand. We were saying we want to do rent a car in India.
Okay.
The acceptance was very interesting because I remember that when we started out, we just put up 13 cars in three cities in India. And we were sold out in the next 5 hours for the next month.
Okay.
So that was an important sort of start for me in my little journey, little start as an entrepreneur. The last one, I think, is very recent, and it's an important milestone for us. We have always looked at Miles as a brand that believes in collaboration. Since we are changing the way the car ownership ecosystem functions today, one of our biggest allies in this journey have to be car manufacturers. So very recently, we signed up with two of the major manufacturers in India, one being Maruti Suzuki. And another one being MG Motors, which we signed before Maruti, in fact. So I think those were great testaments to the fact that we are going in the right direction. And there are actually manufacturers that are willing to partner with us. So yeah, I'd say these are the
great milestones. And, you know, as you said, these are, you know, early milestones. And I'm sure there's a very, very long and successful career ahead of you. But, you know, you just spoke about Uber and Ola, which is a car rental model, you know, on a car taxi kind of model where you hail an Uber or an Ola. And Miles Cars is where people self-drive. What is the basic difference and what opportunity did you spot?
Well, you know, in India, on an average, and let's keep the COVID times away, but on an average, there are about 2.5 to 3 million cars that are bought every year.
Correct.
As against about 4 times the number of new driving license holders that are added every year.
Wow. Okay.
Therefore, we believe that there is a huge gap between the number of cars, the number of people who can drive and the ones who are driving.
Correct.
We also believe that while the ride sharing and the taxi hailing business is there to stay, there's a lot of growth there. At Cars on Rent, we've been doing it in the B2B side as well. But we also believe that there will be a significant market of car buyers or people who want to have access to a vehicle.
Right.
And there's a way of changing it. There's a way of introducing more flexibility, affordability, more accessibility to a car, to a vehicle, so to say. And that's really what we are trying to build ourselves.
Very interesting. And yet, you know, for most people who own cars, they've now started to recognize that it is probably one of the most underutilized asset everyone has. I mean, you actually probably just drive a car for maybe an hour or 2 hours every day. Is there a possibility for you in Miles Cars to start tapping into these huge unutilized assets in every home?
So it's interesting you say that. You know, the basis of Miles from the beginning has been to become a platform that allows for utilization of any vehicle as an asset. Any vehicle, so to say, is actually a depreciating asset, and therefore the better you can utilize it, the better you can justify the cost of owning that vehicle. So we have always kept an asset-light model in our business. We acquire cars from the market to begin with. For obvious reasons, the car owners who come to us are fleet operators and car dealerships and OEMs. But very soon in our journey, we started developing a program which we now call the Miles Angels program. Mm-hmm. And why we call it the Angels program is because these are really angel investors who are investing into a vehicle and putting it onto the Miles platform, which then gets utilized for the period. My ultimate aim would be that you and I can share the car that's standing probably in our parking lots for most of the time and just allow somebody else to, you know, in your neighborhood or in the vicinity to be able to share and use that car. And really, you know, eliminate that need of the unnecessary congestion that we are building onto our cities. In spite of not having 80 or 90% utilization of cars as an asset.
Very interesting. You know, because I was thinking just before, you know, when I was planning to talk to you, I was just walking around in the condominium that I live in. There must be about 500 cars. And in pandemic times, I think at any point of time, there are at least 450 to 460 cars parked in the basements. And I was thinking, I said, you know, this is what I would call raw material for Sakshi.
I'm so glad you said that. You know, one of the things that I used to do when I was just starting out with Miles, and I used to pitch to partners, you know, go and speak to, you know, potential investors, etc. I used to just go to their building and sit next to the window and try and show them the parking lot. And that was my pitch, you know, all of these cars, this is my supply. And this is what really needs to, you know, become better utilized. Why are all of these cars just lying right there?
Right.
So yes, I think that's a really important piece. In addition to that, I think what we also believe is just the way cars are getting sold needs to change. Mm-hmm. Why should I be buying a car for longer than the period for which I need it? Correct. Why should I invest in a 15 lakh asset when I'm going to use it only for, well, a few days, a month?
Correct.
That's definitely a piece that
we'll change. So, you know, my next question is actually, and this is a question to all entrepreneurs who are wanting to scale up. What are some of your key challenges as you are scaling up?
So I think we're definitely trying to change a behavior. We entered a market where people love to own a car. There is one of the things that I've always been told is that, but you know, if it's not my car, it's not my car. I consider a car as, buying a car is an event in an Indian family.
Correct.
So we're changing a habit. And I think that change of habit and how simply can I change this habit has been a challenge for us. Mm-hmm. Technology has helped in a big way in that sense. The other, I think, important piece for us is to sort of get the ecosystem together. The entire value chain of a vehicle starts from when a customer starts deciding on which car they want to buy. Then the entire journey of doing the purchase, then moving on to, you know, the idea of who is it that am I going to go to when I have to get the car serviced, where's the insurance coming from, etc. And then I have to sell the car at the end. Mm-hmm. Can I get all of these ecosystem players together? So I think those are some of the things that we found challenging, but we're also working on. So that's probably the journey for us.
Very nice. And I know some people at Uber, and when I talk to them, I realize how much technology goes into running these platforms. How are you managing your technology, which is the cornerstone of the giants?
So, you know, I when we, and you know, my legacy is Cars and Rent, and I spent about 10 years first there and then built Miles, so to say. That was a business that evolved from being an asset heavy to an asset light model, from being an operational to a sales focused business, where we essentially, the idea, the ethos of the business was, you need to make sure that this entire business can actually run through technology instead of more and more people, more and more cars, etc.
Right.
And I think that is the philosophy that I bring to this business as well. The idea also then is how soon and how well can we integrate all formats of technology. So today we invest in AI tools to better judge the behavior of a driver. Today we invest in telematics and machine learning tools to be able to identify what does a car need at any point of time to reduce the friction between a car user and, you know, the person who actually owns the car. So yes, I think it's been a journey. We are, of course, creating a habit. And one of the things that I must mention is that whether it's an Uber, Ola or any other car user, Uber is also a car, an Uber driver is a car user.
Correct.
For us, everyone is a customer.
Correct.
Anyone who wants to use a car is a customer. So we need to take our technology to that very fundamental level.
Very interesting. And, you know, if you were to look ahead 3 years and say that, you know, this is where I want Miles Cars to be, what is your vision?
I want the parking lots to be as empty as they can be, like we started out. I think the idea is, how can I make sure that car or any vehicle as an asset gets utilized the most? We do believe that, you know, as of now, we're about 3 million cars being bought in India every year. The estimate is that in the next 3 years, this number should be about 5 million. If I can reach to about anywhere between 5 to 7% of that market, I'd be making a significant change. And that will then lead to more and more OEMs sort of incorporating this as a product, which is our ultimate aim. I think the entire car ownership process needs to change. And that's what we're trying to do.
Terrific. Terrific. One more question before I move to another segment. How, in your opinion, are the millennials and the Gen Zs changing the way you do business? Because the millennials don't want to buy anything. So what is your view of them changing?
Well, you know, they're sort of our brand ambassadors. They have been people who have sort of decided to make that change. We're also in a time where influence is a very important aspect of decision making. And everyone's becoming an influence, especially in this pandemic. Like, most people have become cooks and you know, bloggers, etc. So that content that is coming out of the younger generation is becoming very important for us. One of the campaigns that we did very early in our days at Miles was, how do you break up with your car? And it's time that you break up with your car. The idea essentially was to tell people that, listen, you're too committed to this asset. You don't have to use this asset and buy it and pay for it for the next 4 years, 5 years. Why don't you use it when you really need to? So yeah, I think we're utilizing that that influence, and the current generation is really becoming our brand ambassador, so to say. They're also, in fact, making changes in the households that they belong to. So today, one of our first customers, when we launched an electric car fleet into our brand, were actually senior citizens. And where did they come from? They really came from the next generation, which told them, hey, you know what? You have a lesser usage of a vehicle. Why don't you start using a much more greener vehicle, so to say? So they're actually creating influence all over for us, which is quite exciting.
Amazing. So Sakshi, let me move to the second part of our show, which is some questions for you as a startup entrepreneur. I've often been asked this question by the hundreds of people I've spoken to, that is it better to have a co-founder or should you go solo? What is your thought?
Oh, wow. I don't think there's a right answer to it. I'm a solo founder at this point of time, but I've got a lot of help from the teams that I incorporated. Also, I think in the journey of an entrepreneur, you can never move solo. Even if you start out as a solo entrepreneur, your team really becomes a set of co-founders for you. And therefore, I don't think a founder ever has a chance to take all the credit of having started a company. I have an incredible team of people who are really helping me build what I'm trying to build today. They may not have started from scratch with me, but they're literally co-founders for me. So yeah, I think that's
a very interesting perspective. Thank you. My next question is that, you know, I've done startups, you've done startups, you're building a startup. I'm sure you've met hundreds of people who are startup entrepreneurs. What, in your opinion, are some of the basic mistakes a lot of startup entrepreneurs make?
I think one of the things that I believe happens when you're a young entrepreneur is, I'm seeing this. I don't know if it is something that's very prevalent, but I'm seeing this in a lot of entrepreneurs, that they're very conservative or very, they're not very open about sharing the ideas that they're building. While I understand that when you're starting out, you have to be more protective of your idea and you're probably hesitant to share as much. But I think in a startup's journey, because the entire idea is of growth and learning, if you don't share, it'll be difficult to be able to learn better. I think that's sort of very fundamental. The second, of course, I think is this whole idea of how much time are you spending in understanding the customer? Right. Or are you essentially just sitting and building something because you believe it's correct? And probably the two points are really related, but I think those are sort of the fundamental mistakes that tend to happen.
Okay. So I've got time for a few questions for you personally now.
Okay.
My first question is that, where or who do you draw your inspiration from?
Most importantly, I think my father, who's been an entrepreneur himself, I've learned most of what I've learned in my journey from him. And it's wonderful to have somebody at home to be able to seek any help, any guidance from. But also from every customer that sort of, you know, comes, that I come across and that has an incredible story to tell.
Right.
I think one of the most interesting stories in our journey at Miles was a customer. We had launched some nanos in our fleet. And we got a customer who took a nano for a month and came back. And he decided to document that story saying, I took the car from Noida to Kanyakumari and came back. And that's what I did for the next 1 month. I did not check into any hotels. I slept in the car, drove in the car, and just came back. Now, that's a story that validates my idea of what I'm trying to create. Sure. If I can create a home out of a vehicle, that's really inspiring.
Amazing. So, yes. Amazing. That's quite amazing. My next question is that how do you set personal and professional goals?
I don't know if I have a set format. I think I just go with what's really required at that very moment. I'm somebody who believes in just making sure that the present is correct and the future sort of gets sorted. I know that there are certain long-term goals that I have as far as the business is concerned. I have a vision of where Miles can reach. But at the same time, I think goal setting is something which is a more... I tend to set a lot more short-term goals than the longer-term visions, so to say. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Accept that. My next question is that if you were a role model to millions of children who closely followed your life choices, what is the one thing you would change in yourself?
I'm guessing I should have some...
If you want to change, I mean, maybe you don't want to change anything.
Fancier long-term goals to say it. No, I think kids today are extremely well exposed. They're extremely, extremely intelligent. There are solutions that are being, you know, put forth to them, which are making them a lot more aware of what they want. I believe that one of the pieces that I would want to do a lot more than what we are doing today and which is also the fundamental of car sharing or any asset sharing businesses, is to introduce more greener fuel, greener vehicles into our fleet, to be able to really build a more relevant, a more safer future for the kids, and for them to also be able to learn that this is what's really needed. We're both living in the vicinity of a smog that's going to come in the next few days in Delhi. So we know what that really means, and maybe that's one of the things that I'd like to do a lot more of.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have time for two more questions for you. The next question is, what do you look for when you hire anyone?
I look for somebody who I can learn something from. I look for somebody who has complementary skill sets. I do not, unless I'm hiring primarily for a specific role, if I'm hiring somebody to be part of a senior team, I will always look for complementary skill sets. I am constantly in the need. I don't think I can do everything, and therefore, as founder, I need to find more co-founders, so to say. So that's my question.
And my last question to you, Sakshi, what does success mean to you?
I'd say it means that if I can just be happy on a daily basis at the end of the day, and if I have a problem, if I can solve it, that short-term success is sort of what I really run after, and that will probably lead to a lot of satisfaction at the end of a few years. You'd probably be able to give me a better answer to it, because you have a much much more illustrious journey, so to say. But I think, yeah, primarily it's to be able to find a problem, solve it, move on, get to the next problem. If I'm developing that skill, then I'm fairly okay.
Sakshi, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you, and I wish you and Miles Cars lots of success.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.